Meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you all for joining Latin Generation Panel Call on the 6th of December 2018. In the call, we have Bill, Dennis, Michael, Marjana, Pitinan, and Saman. Over to you, Marjana.
Thank you, Pitinan. So yesterday I slightly changed the agenda sent before in the first round because we have to finalize our date for our meeting in face-to-face meeting in Brussels. So we have two propositions. One is February the 4th, the other one is February 24th. And majority of people said that at least those who responded to Sarmat's question, the both dates are suitable for everyone. Also, we have an excuse from Hazen because he's traveling now, so he will not be at the meeting, at the call today. But he said also that the both weeks are good for him. So, that's all what I have to say. Shall we take the February the 4th or February 24th? Sarmad, what do you think?
So, is it okay if it's okay for both dates? Let me go and check again. And actually, I have to travel arrangements as well. But let me stop here, and Bill actually has some...
Bill has some. Please, Bill.
Well, I can do both. The week of the 24th would leave me with back-to-back weeks away from home at various meetings, so I do have a small preference for the week of the 4th, if that can be made to work.
Okay, thank you, Bill, very much.
Noted, Bill. Just a follow-up question, Bill. In case we have to do week of 24th, would you prefer the first half or the second half?
Either one is okay at that point.
Okay. So what I'll do is I'll check internally and then I'll come back to your email. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarmat. So, it is almost resolved. The next topic is, again, our homework from Brussels, variant analysis and so on. So, I will give the stage to Dennis. Dennis, please. Oh, what happened with Dennis? Again, you have some problems with your... Because you disappeared from
I'm here.
Okay, that's good. At least I don't see you in the participants list.
He's moved to the presenters list, Mariana.
Oh, that's it. And I have some black window on the top, so that's it. Thank you. Thank you. Sorry.
So bear with me. I was kicked out from Adobe Connect, so I'm going to rejoin. Give me a minute.
Okay.
And here I thought I had problems because it took 5 or 10 minutes to get through Adobe Connect the first time, but at least once I'm in, I stay in.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, can you? Thank you. All right. So we continue homework from Brussels. So let's open those links.
Let's try to finish first mine because I have improved my report a little bit.
Okay, so yeah, we can open that if you want. So let me just find that email, Regina.
Yeah, it was.
Okay, so. I think you sent it earlier this week.
Also posted the link in the chat.
Yeah, Fitina gave us a link, and I sent it yesterday, I think. I sent the complete list. Pitinan sent the whole list, and I have added my homework. And the best way is to follow the link which was given by Pitinan in the chat room.
Yeah, I'm trying to find that email.
So go to the. Do you have your chat room chat on the screen? Pitinan just put.
Yeah, something I cannot access that chat room, or the list of.
Dennis, the email subject is summary of homework links.
Summary? Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I found it. Uh-huh, I found it. Thank you. Okay. And Mirjana, yours is on the same document?
Yes, I'm on the same document.
Okay. All right, so I open your document. Can you all see it?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Okay. Let me first introduce what I have done, because
sure.
I've changed the first part where we have this diuresis and double acute. I passed through all Google fonts on this work, whatever, Italian site, and I found some combinations which might be confusable, but I cannot decide by myself. You can see that this new picture after the first topic, and some of those diacritics look pretty similar, and it is up to the panel to decide should they be variants or not, because I am completely lost with it. This is the best I could do. Matt handed us. Please, Matt, go on.
Yes, as a reader of a language that uses the old diuresis, I would say that the old W-cute would be accepted as an alternative, even though it for a normal font it would look strange, but for a more handwriting style font, it would be perfectly okay. And especially the ones that are more similar.
So this is Dennis. Can somebody help me managing the queue, because I don't.
I will.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
So is there anyone else?
There is now Bill, and we have Mike. Oh, Pitinan, sorry. Okay, Pitinan will do it.
Okay.
Oh, okay, sure. There's Bill first, and then Michael.
I would just say on the examples that Brianna has posted here, on a number of them, I can't tell which one is diuresis and which one is double acute, whether it's the first one or the second one, in either of the cases. Maybe that's just my poor vision, but honestly, if I can't tell which is which, I think that's a problem. Thank you.
Do, 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 do,
Yeah, but I would agree with Mats. I also think both versions would be acceptable, even if the one with the acute might look a bit strange in some fonts, but still you would read it as the intended letter.
Anyone else on the queue?
Sorry. Let me raise hand.
There's a comment by Mikal. He says, as a German user, I would agree that they would be considered equally valid.
And I want to say that I have chosen those one which look, there are fonts in which those two, their critics are very distinguishable. But those are the peculiar examples where I did, where I thought they should be discussed. And all the other fonts are much better than this one. So those are the worst examples. And that's just, I wanted to say how I have chosen those fonts. That's all from me up to now.
Okay. Anyone else on the queue?
No, we have no one in the queue, and Bill is typing in the chat.
Okay. So Bill's
comment, I would suggest that someone whose language use both might recognize the difference, but someone whose language only uses one, she wouldn't realize that what they were seeing was the wrong one.
Okay. So as hearing the comments, I think we have lost sight of what this exercise was about. This exercise was about to prove or disprove the hypothesis that the writing techniques or writing shortcuts or conventions were transferred to font design. And I think what we see here is that none of the or the double acutes have a distinguishable way of representing and the same way of the diaresis. So both diacritics are distinguishable in these examples, even in this extreme example as Mirjana put it. What you have commented was on grounds of visual similarity. So that will take us back to the 4-point scale analysis that we did for visual things. So let's separate stuff. So first I think, can we agree that this has failed the test, this test, and then we can have a discussion on whether on visual similarity grounds, this ought to be put in a Banyan set.
We have Bill in the queue.
That feels like we're trying to rationalize and come up with a reason not to consider them variants. It seems to me we've established from several of us that we either can't tell the difference or, to the extent we can, wouldn't consider them to be differences. And to me, that says variant, and there's really not much more room to discuss the situation. Thank you.
Anyone else on the queue?
Now, Mako?
Yes, hi. I was just going to reiterate the comment I wrote in the chat room. I said that I'm a user of a language from which both occur.
Mako, can you come closer to the mic, please?
Yes, can you hear me better?
Yeah, I think it's better.
Okay. I was saying that I was just trying to reiterate my comment I wrote in the chat box that As a user of a language which makes use of both code points, I cannot tell the difference in some fonts from a visual point of view. But even where I can see the difference, I would intuitively consider them equivalent. So, therefore, I think you can analyze this from a point of view of visual similarity as well as a point of view of non-visual similarity. And I think in both cases, there would be some evidence suggesting that those are candidates for a variant pair. Thank you.
I think that's what I'm referring to, Mikkel. We did an exercise to, again, to prove the hypothesis that the handwriting conventions were transferred to font design. This is clearly not the case, right? I don't see here any diacritic, any double acute that looks like exactly the same as a diuresis. So since that aside, we can have a discussion on visual similarity grounds. That's what I'm saying. I'm not ruling out whether this is ought to be variance or not. I'm just saying we cannot do this analysis, or I'm saying the analysis on non-visual grounds fail, but then we can have a discussion on visual similarity. And we can frame that discussion in visual similarity with a four-point scale and then go from there and make the case there.
I understood. I was just trying to bring together both points of views. Sorry.
Yeah, I think we're just I'm trying to or not conflate one with the other. So when we make the case with IP, we clearly outline what our analysis, the criteria, what failed, what did not fail. But we just did what we said we were going to do. Right? We were not saying, oh, we're going to use these criteria, but heck, I don't, they should be variants anyways. I mean, it doesn't work that way. I'm just trying to have some, to manage the process that we have set up to do.
I agree.
Thank you. Any comments?
No new comments and no hands for now.
Okay.
Okay, then me again. I have finished how I understood the last point here. It was about, let me remember. It was about two diacritics.
I'm sorry, Marjana, which case is it? So I can scroll to that part of the
document. I'm trying to find it. Sorry, just a moment, please.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Two diacritics, diacritic horn and grave. Grave, or whatever it is pronounced. 3.5.
Okay.
Horn and how it is pronounced? Grave.
Yeah.
Grave. So it is pronounced like in French. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Horn and grave. Okay. And because in the first round I didn't understand which one should be compared, and now my finding is, it is about stacking, and does any one of those diacritics are going on the wrong side when looking at the different fonts. That's how I understood it. And all the time, diacritics are properly positioned only in some fonts. I have written it at the end. It looks that horn belongs to the next letter, but because we don't have a character with the horn to the left of the character, so for me there is no problem with positioning of those diacritics. That's my finding, and those are also some samples which I thought might be interesting.
Okay, so Mijen, again, where should I point the document to?
Oh, sorry, I think you found it. It is almost at the end of the document.
Almost at the end, okay.
Yes, yes, please. No, no, a little bit up, a little bit up. That's the table.
Okay.
This where one. I put, yeah, that's the table.
Okay.
And I didn't find any case that diacritic is not positioned properly. I mean, also there are some very ugly fonts with where letters are not of the same size. I was choosing the letters where all the letters are of the same size, and I couldn't find that those diacritics are not positioned correctly.
Okay.
That's it.
So the conclusion here is that, yeah.
Finding
no problem.
It's right. Okay. Yeah. It is just one peculiar thing that this horn sometimes looks that it is attached to the next letter, but it doesn't mean mm-hmm. anything. I suppose it doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the last one, thanks to Mats, I found this sample, this example for F and F with hook, and I attached it here. So the document is complete, as far as I understand.
Yep.
Okay. That's all from me.
Okay.
We have no one in the queue and no new comments.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. There is no one in the queue.
Oh, okay. Thank you. All right, so we move on to the next. So any questions on this set of cases? I think letter F, we already, F and F with a hook, we already studied it. We can put more examples using the website or market to show different italic or cursive fonts and see how those two look alike. Right, so let's move to the next document. Let's see. I think see Michael's. Did we review Michael's last time? I think we did not. And see if
No.
We don't.
We have done only yours and mine.
Okay. So yeah. All right. Thank you, Mirjana. All right. So let's start with Michael's then. So Michael had to analyze the critics Tilde and Macron. All right, so people leave. Yeah. I'm sorry?
Just telling, please use the link in the chat to go to the document.
Okay, yeah. So
thank
Peter,
Thank you, Peter.
Put the link on the chat, please. Go ahead and start linking. Otherwise, you can follow me through my screen. So he had, again, Tilde and Macron, and the two, what are the sets that he found? So he found letter I, letter U, letter G, E. So this is, I think this is going to be an interesting set. Okay. So start with A, Macron and Tilde. There are some H cases, perhaps, like the one in the bottom left third on the row on letter E, Macron tilde, in here bit much more distinguishable. And on G, so each, question for Michael, G, is a G example a precompose or a sequence? It looks like a sequence to me. G with Macron. Oh, it's
no, the precomposed. Yeah.
The precomposed, yeah. So it might be that the, because it looks like the G goes on, right, on the, not on top, not fully aligned
yeah.
on top like a tilde, but goes, and it's pretty much consistent with every single, font, which might be evidence of that, that code not being supported by the, those fonts, and therefore they are not, coding correctly.
Yeah,
as in the
it looks like a fallback.
Exactly, it looks like a fallback. Yeah, it looks like it's composing that font on the fly. Can we see it? Let me see, let me, where's, so I don't see that happening now on my screen. I think you are looking at it now. So it is clear in some font that the G with the Macron is really not following the same style language as the other. So it looks like there is a, you know, something happening in terms of that that. But I cannot reproduce Michael's alignment
what
issue.
You are using a Mac, right? I was using Windows. Maybe there was a difference due to that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that, I mean, I think that's what we that's the only thing that we can study, right? Different user interfaces, different applications, different operating system will behave differently as to the what the default is. But we clearly can see that, for example, let's look at a less stylized text. You see here, you clearly see that the G with Macron does not follow the same style language as the other letters, right? And therefore, that's why we see in your case goes to a default, which, well, it is what we see, right? Where the Macron is not fully aligned with the letter.
One question, which fonts did you use, your own system fonts or the Google fonts? Because with my own system fonts, it looks similar to yours. Oh.
I'm looking Google fonts now.
Okay, because with Google fonts, it looks where I put the graphics there, but with my own system font, it looks similar to what you we are viewing right now.
So on your machine, selecting Google fonts, use the G and the Macron are aligned on the same middle, if you will.
No, when I use system fonts, it looks okay. When I use Google fonts, it looks the way I pasted it in the...
Oh, okay, okay. Got it, got it. All right. System font looks okay. Google font does not look okay.
Dennis, this is Bettina. Michael
yes,
has the comment in the chat that he thinks you paste the wrong code point.
I pasted the wrong code point? What code point should I be pasting?
Make all the you. Please go ahead.
Yes, yes, I can only assume because I can, you said that it may be a user interface thingy, but I'm looking at it on the Mac and I'm seeing the results which Michael has produced. So there is strong variation in the positioning of the combining marks. And also before we had a discussion that it may be a fallback encoding. If it was a fallback encoding, actually the user interface should automatically take correct encoding from the font where it is present, from my understanding. That's what a fallback encoding is. But from the screenshot we're seeing, it's consistently wrong. So I think it's a wrong encoding, but a consistently wrong encoding, which makes it, I think, even harder to spot for users. Thank you.
Right.
We have Matt in the queue.
Yes, please note that there is no mark involved here. This is a pre-composed character. So from a Unicode perspective, there is only one code point.
Correct. It's a pre-composed, but has... Is on a stable?
Pardon me?
Can we consider that it's an unstable character, I mean, from a rendering standpoint?
Well, I think that it's not present in all fonts. So then you have a substitution. That's when it looks very different. But when I look at, I test the word mark and test it with Google Fonts, and I don't see the gliding of the Macron. It's there on top of the J, just as it should. I see no rendering problem here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of strange.
Okay, so...
This is Sarman.
Sarman, okay, go ahead.
Yeah. I just checked. This code point was included in Unicode version 1.1. So it's probably not instability, it's probably something else. It, at least from a Unicode encoding point of view.
Thank you. So pretty all code point. So one clear thing is that tilde and Macron are distinguishable. There's no question about it. So there is no question that, I mean, both diacritics are different. Now, I think we are having a second different discussion as to whether this looks like, because of what we're, the real-time exercise that we're doing, looks like a corner case where we see Michael's screenshot and he saw this, right? And where the Macron was being rendered in a final position as opposed to right on top of the base layer. So we can resolve this as a corner case, and this, we expect this not to happen in a general use font on the wild, in the internet, or even in the address bar. And well, since we're talking about the address bar, let me just do that example myself right now and see what happens. Yeah, clearly the G is, it's good to go, and we can, I suspect that Internet Explorer or Safari will do the same. There will not be any misalignment of the Macron above the G. Are we on the same page? Any comments? None? Okay, let's move on.
We have Meiko in the queue.
Okay. Meiko, go ahead.
Yes. I was writing that I think the rendering is clearly broken and broken across a number of fonts, but I don't think it would be confusable without noticing. So you may see it and think, okay, this looks wrong, but I don't think that immediately it's very much confusable in between the tilde variant and the Macron variant. It's more a matter of if you recognize the tilde or the Macron as a separate modifier, because in some cases it may even overlay with the basic character. So, but I do not see a G with a right-hand size modifier in our repertoire. Therefore, I don't see no risk for confusion with another character, if you understand what I mean.
I do. Thank you. All right. Any other?
Yes.
I think, was that Matt?
Yeah. Matt? I have a question there. I mean, Michael, why are the dots on the first first letter, first square?
On the top left? That's something from the... It's the
web page.
Controls. Yeah, it's the control, setting controls of the.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. It's, so he was, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was too lazy to use a paint program to cut them out. Sorry.
Okay.
That's okay, Michael. It was not required. All right, let's move on.
Yeah.
Yes.
We have comment from John Paul. John Paul said they are clearly two different. What is it?
Thank you. Anyone else before moving on to the next case?
Matt, is that old hand or new hand?
That's an old hand.
Okay.
All right. Let's move on to this is letter I. Again, tilde and Macron. So rendering is perfectly aligned in each one of these cases and distinguishable across the board. I don't see, and I think these are, you know, most, represent most of the cases. So, any comments, reactions on this case before moving on? I don't think there is much to see here. Okay, hearing none, let's continue with letter N. Okay, so here we have the same issue of alignment of the Macron. Looks like a Macron issue in several fonts. But also, Michael notes that he found few examples where there is some tilde and Macron are the same, right? Like in this font. But that, yep.
Yeah, not
yes,
exactly
Michael.
The same. Not exactly the same, but you have to zoom quite in to see that the tilde is actually a tilde and not just a bar or Macron.
Right. Yeah, it's in the example that you highlighted, the tilde, it looks like more a straight line instead of a wavy line, and therefore can create the illusion to be a substitute of the, or looks like a Macron, whereas in the other case, but is this minority case enough to warrant a saying resolve that this can be confused with the other?
for me it's not. I just wanted to mention it as the most corner-like case I found.
Thank you, Michael. Yeah, and I think that's what we wanted, right? If we saw some of those cases, see how pervasive across the fauna styles that cases be, and yeah, I see these are very few, so I would say it would not warrant to say that Peel and Macron are being confused in font design. So they have clearly different cues, design cues, to make them different. Any other reactions here?
None.
All right, let's move on to letter O. Here, I think it's very straightforward. You did not highlight any corner case, and you found that, yeah, they are distinguishable enough that there is no overlap. Any comments? None? Okay. Continue with letter U. Same case. And then we move on to other set, hook versus dot above. Okay, and in this case, what pairs did you find? Letter E. Start with that one. Hook and dot. Yeah. Clearly very distinct diacritics. Any reactions?
Nope.
Okay. Letter I. Same thing. The dot and the hook, very different. So but your note, I'm comparing the standard I, so Latin small letter I, as this is basically a dotless I with dot above and similar to dotless with hook above. Do you care to elaborate?
If I say I'm looking at an I with a dot above, it sounds like as if the I would have two dots above because the I already in our font has a dot above. So the I which we look at is actually the dotless I with a dot above. Well, yeah.
Does that exist in our repertoire, the dotless I with dot above?
No, I don't think it exists. I mean, it's just, maybe I just delete the sentence for it makes more confusion.
Yeah, because if the sequence does not exist in a repertoire, we should not be doing, using it for examples or use cases. That combination will simply not exist, and if it did, we would have be forced to create a binary relationship with the Latin small letter I.
The thing I just mentioned is usually we compare a letter with a dot above with a letter with a hook above. But in this case, I compared the Latin I with a I with a hook above and not the letter I with a dot above because the I already has a dot above.
Right.
Look at the letters I wrote. Scroll a bit up, please. bit more. Okay. There you see. Usually we say C with dot above E with dot above G with dot above, but I didn't look at I with dot above because we don't have that. But the regular I we have, this is already enough to compare it with an I with the hook above.
Right. Got it. Yeah, I understand now what you did, Michael. Thank you.
We have Michael and Matt.
Yep, go ahead.
Yes, it's Michael. I was just trying to say that regarding the case, because now we're switching back and forth between two different code points. So regarding the I and the dotless I, I think there's substantial evidence and from a significant number of fonts where they're confusable. More on the basis of visual grounds than non-visual grounds. But anyways, so I think this would be a variant pair in my personal opinion. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Michael, which one? The hook above and the dot above?
No, I'm sorry. Before we switched back to the hook above and the dot above, we were speaking about the I and the dotless I, weren't we?
Just because...
No,
the explanation Michael was giving, but not in that case. We have a special case with a double side that we need to discuss, so we can save that conversation for later.
Okay, sorry, then I misunderstood something.
No worries. All right. Any other comments from here? I think was another person on the queue.
We have a
me. Yeah. Well, I don't think that we should talk about dotless I here at all. Because, I mean, we compare the I with a I with a hook above. Just those two code points.
Compare which code points, Matt? Dotless I with which one?
No. Not dotless I. That's not what we compare. An I with a I with a hook above. That is what we compare here. Those are the two code points that we compare. And the complexity with the description is that an I has a dot above as a base format. So, but we shouldn't talk about dotless I because we don't have the combination dotless I and dot above in our repertoire.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So you're saying we shouldn't talk about dotless I here. I thought you'd say we should talk about dotless.
No, we should not. We should not talk about.
Thank you.
Talk about dotless I. We're just comparing, an I with an I with a hook above.
Yeah. Correct. Yes. No, I'm with you. Sorry, I misunderstood you. So yes.
Yeah.
So let's move on. Anyone else on the queue?
Nope.
No. Let me see. Let's complete this document, and then I want to switch to the next steps. We have a list of 8 items to look at next steps. All right. So we were at I, and then the next one is letter Y with hook. No. Or how do you call this? Name hook and hook above. Yep. So, okay. But in this case, I think there are different ones, right? The hook is an extension in one case, and then there's clearly a diacritic above in the hook case. So different versions.
Yeah, I just thought that I might consider them even if we didn't explicitly mention it, because they might look different, but it turned out they did not.
All right. Thank you. Let's continue. Base character evaluation. So we have the I and dot SI. Yeah. So I have to assume that the first one is the dot SI and then the Latin. So in these cases, what you are highlighting is the, are we talking about here lowercase or capital case or capital letters?
I entered them as lowercase letters, but some fonts seem to nevertheless write them as capital letters, and that's the problem, I think.
Yeah.
Which we
so in the, right, in that case, we cannot take that into account.
Or small caps.
But again, I'm sorry?
Or small caps.
Yeah, we
small
should.
Capitals.
We should compare only small caps.
Not small caps.
So, but we have a discussion on I, which I think is more relevant on IDNA 2003 compatibility issues. So, let's refer this case to there. On diacritic evaluation.
Wait a minute. I on 2003 compatibility?
Yes.
I don't remember. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's been called out in MSR since version 3, again in MSR version 4. So we are asked by the integration panel to look at two cases. One is the sharp S, and the other one is dotless I.
The dotless I is because of the situation in Turkish
locale. Whether exactly, whether
it's not IDNA 2003, it's the locale situation in Turkish and some other language.
Yeah, I'm just paraphrasing what the MSR has to do, and they refer to IDNA 2003 compatibility issues. So, I'm not saying you're not correct, but I'm just paraphrasing what the report says. Okay, diacritic stack. Yes, Matt.
We have in the queue.
Yeah, go. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm sorry. I didn't understand that discussion just now. Could you briefly summarize it again for me? I'm not understanding why we're skipping this whole point. That's what I'm saying.
So in MSR version 3 and again in version 4, integration panel is asking the a few generation panels to look at special cases. In the case of Latin script, they're calling out two cases, sharp S and the dotless I, because of the mapping situation that happened in 2003 that does not exist again, does not exist in 2008. And so look at those use cases through those lenses. So if you can go back, if you can refer to MSR, you will find that reference there. Does that answer your question, Michael?
So very simply put, you just want to discuss those cases together when we discuss IDNA compatibility cases.
Correct, yes. Yeah, because IDNA 2003 is going to be one of the criteria that we have to look at, and might as well find different other use cases, right?
Okay, as long as we refer back to this analysis, this piece of analysis we have here, then I'm fine with
yep.
that. Thanks for the explanation.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Welcome. All right, so we're 5 minutes to the top of the hour, so I'm going to stop here. I'm going to stop here. It's a few cases, but because I want to look at the 8 action items that we need in order to, I believe, complete a proposal for IP. Pitinan, can you help me with? Can you stop sharing my screen and then can you share the 8 items?
Sure.
I think it was circulated 2 days ago.
Okay, let me move you
Thank
back.
You.
All right, give me a minute. Is it the 5 items? Is it 8 items?
8, yes. Now there are 8.
Okay. All right.
Let me see if I can do this.
Yeah.
Did you find it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It just takes some time to upload.
Sure. If you could zoom in, please. Thank you. Not too much. All right. That's perfect. All right. So we have these 8 items. We have identified there may be others, so we'll try to find those out today so that we have a clearly path until we do the next iteration of the proposal. I see 2 hands. Michael Ville, do you want to add something now or can it wait until we go through the list? Just looking at the clock. No? Okay, Bill?
Sorry, I forgot lowering. I was just going to say I'm actually working on 6 and 7. I'm partway through the MSR and should have that done by the beginning of next week.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it. Let's know that Bill is working on items 6 and 7. All right. So going back to the list, so we need to incorporate the responses from actual and from Brussels document to the main proposal. Those are the ones that we finalized last week, and I'm going through that list and incorporating those additional input, right, that the IP requested based on our cross-cut analysis. So that's being reflected now on version, I think it's going to be version 4 of the proposal. And so you know,
is that a new document?
No, I think that's, it's a new document, right? Because it hasn't been shared yet. It's version number 4 with no date. The link is on the chat room. And yes, I note, Michael, yes, I know your email. Let's follow up offline and see how we can divide and conquer. Appreciate it. The next 2 items is the what we talk about the what was the analysis on HTML underlining and the analysis on IDNA 2003 compatibility issues noted by the IP for us to review. So again, 2 cases there. We need to finish the Brussels homework in order to see if there are any other variants that may arise during that because of that analysis. Also, we need to expand the base character analysis. I think, Michael, this is on you to provide more detail as to which cases we ought to review. Maybe you want to do that before jumping on to number one?
I was doing today, I kind of finished, but I need another pass to review it before I send it to you.
Okay. That's okay. Thank you. Mirjana, yes?
I just wanted to say that I saw you are editing yesterday two different versions of the report. And I must say that Mats and me, we have finished doing the things which we agreed before in the version 4, which I shared with you just a little bit after Icon 63. And it would be good to know on which version are you working. Have you made a new copy of this version, or you are working on the same version? Also,
No, I'm not. So you're right, Mirjana. I started working on what I believe was the version that I was supposed to change, but then I realized that there were things missing. For example, the Greek table. So then I found this version 4, right? And what you're saying, version 4 is the one that we are preparing for.
Yeah, that we are working on, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's the version I'm working on now, yes. And that's where I'm going to put all the edits.
So you are working on the same version which were finished before that with Mats and me.
Yes.
That's the main thing. Yeah, okay. Okay.
All right.
So, Michael, we are not making copies. We are working on the same version. That's the response to the Michael.
He proposed
something in the chat.
Yep.
That's good.
I'm sorry, Michael.
We're saying it's a new link, is it? Let me look at the book.
This link was shared by me at the end after we finished doing everything what is necessary. What we have agreed before 2 months or something like this. There was a lot of changes in the report, and Mats have done a lot of restructuring. So that's the right version, the one which he gave the link, which Dennis gave the link.
I would like to put myself in the queue.
Okay.
We are. No, I just would like to suggest if you already agree upon which link will be the one to use, let's paste it on the Latin GP Wiki page. So at least we have somewhere this link is statically pasted there. And if you already lost the link to the Wiki page, I paste in the chat room. So please let me know. I will update it on the Wiki page.
Is this restricted so that only we can edit it? Otherwise, it's dangerous to publish it.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just one suggestion. Okay.
I would just like to say that on the website, there is still a version called 2.1 link, and that's also the version I was looking at, for example, developing the base character comparison and looking at what we had considered included. And also I made comments and changes to that document. So, again, I would strongly suggest we stop copying documents all the time and stay with the same document and just use the named version feature of Google Docs. Because I really don't know which version this is now, and the repertoire on the website or the wiki, which Pichinam was referring to now, clearly is out of date, but I can't look through the entire history of emails every time to see which is the current link, and I think I'm not the only one having that issue. And lastly, regarding Matt's comments about sharing the link on the wiki, which then may be editable by other people, you can restrict it to only registered users who are logged in with their email. So there is also a mechanism for this in place in Google Docs. Thank you.
Yes, so the question is this locked or not?
Yeah, so I mean, in the interest of time, let the authors or the editors of the document manage that process. So you know the concerns. So let's try to address that. Just I'm mindful of we are 6 minutes over the hour. So again, going back to the list quickly, six, seven, Bill is taking care of that, and then on eight. This is something I don't think we need to do it now, but we need to do it before we submit to IP, and also for our own benefit, it would be grateful to that we submit some test labels in the XML version of the proposal. So those are the things that we discuss, and I think we have a call next week. So let's work on this first so that we can. Check on the status and where we are on whatnot and work from there. Okay? So with that, okay. I think I'm done for today. Any other business?
I think it's important to know when we're going to meet and when we're going to meet in Brussels.
Sure. But I think that's been handled through email. I think the lead-in date is the 4th of February. It's a matter of locking down the facilities, and from there, everybody has to, work their schedules and make it happen.
So in the agenda for today, it's talking about February 24th, too.
That's another option, yes. I think that was new as of this morning, so what I would suggest is everybody respond to that email, and whether the 4th and the 24th works, which one is preferable, and then we'll Mirjana and Sarma can finalize the logistics of it.
And also Sarma said that he will give us a soon, very soon the response of when he investigates the situation in the Brussels. But some people preferred for this meeting to be on the 4th of February. So we shall know soon. I mean, during the next week, we shall know the exact date. So I want to close this meeting, this call today. Thank you very much for being present on this call, and hear you next week, same time, same day. Goodbye, and have a nice rest of the day.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay,
bye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.